Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Johannes Christofferson, and he is one of the newer interns at the Museum of Danish America. So good morning to you, Johannes.
Good morning.
And how long have you been in Elkhorn?
I have been here since the 1st of February, so I arrived during the blizzard.
Okay, welcome to the Midwest. Welcome to Elkhorn. And we hope that's kind of the last of those blizzards, but who knows? It could be the middle of March or the end of March. But whatever comes, you will take it. Let's talk a bit about you, Johannes. Tell me a little bit about growing up, where you grew up, some, you know, kind of just go through your life for me and tell us about you.
Yeah, my name is Johannes. I live in Copenhagen currently, where I study at the University of Copenhagen. I'm a history major, where I'm doing my master's degree at the moment. This internship will be a part of my master's degree, and I will finish roughly a year from now, give or take. I grew up in a little town north of Copenhagen called Espergærde. It's just south of Helsingør, if any of you know that city. And that's where I went to public school and went to the gymnasium, and that's basically where I grew up.
Now you have a history major. When did you start really getting interested in history? Was that something when you were like in, you know, elementary school, beginning school, or is that something that just has developed as you've gotten older?
That's a difficult question. I think it was during the gymnasium period. I had a very good tutor or teacher who just, rang to me something. It was very, very interesting subjects, and I like all the different focuses you can have, and partly also because my mom started studying Egyptology at some point, so the ancient world has been a great interest in my life, although it's not the path I'm pursuing now. I do have a minor in Near Eastern Archaeology, though, in my bachelor degree. So, but mainly just, I've always been interested in the history of things, and also even from an entertaining point of view, I like history in general, just also part of the fictionary world.
Mm-hmm. And movies, I'm sure that's a part of those and all that kind of thing. So, you said history can lead to many opportunities, or at least I think that's what you were saying. And so you're here at the museum helping, but as you go out from that with your history major, what do you see as your opportunities?
I see them as a lot of opportunities, a lot of different stuff I can do. I'm here mainly to get some museum experience, since that's the more general road you can take after having a history major. I'd like to have that on my resume. Mm-hmm. But I'm mostly interested in the more, literature version, where I want to produce stuff, not in the, like, create a book or anything, but I'd like to write a lot, so I might focus more on marketing and perhaps development in the future. That's why I'm also going to assist Deb here at the museum with some of the marketing and development stuff, besides just helping Tova with the more curatorial. So I'm trying to make my degree as broad as possible so I can have as many opportunities as possible. But I really like the more outgoing, the more reaching out to humans rather than just having to do with old stuff. So I'm not going to be the one who is researching a lot of stuff in the old archives. I'd rather go and talk to people and do more interaction. That's what gets me.
That says to me that you have the opportunity to get young people interested in history also, that they see this young man who's interested and it's not just this old stuffy stuff, that it could be really, really interesting. And you sort of mentioned, you know, I see you doing activities, not just reading out of a book to somebody.
Yes. So far I've been focusing on a lot of events as well, trying to do different sort of events. But I've also had a part-time job in Denmark working at the Danish Technological Museum, where I have been part of the educational staff. So I've had a lot of teaching to do with first graders all the way up to adult education. So I also like to teach. I like the human interaction. So that'll be a backup plan.
Well, I think you should early on in your career start a book of interesting questions. We won't call them stupid questions. There are no stupid questions, but interesting questions, because I know there's going to be a lot of them. Now, you've kind of mentioned a couple of the things that you're doing here at the museum. Can you expand on that a little bit, some of your various responsibilities?
It's all still very new to me, so I'm not completely involved yet. At the moment, I've been working a lot with Tova on our new exhibition, Skål, which I think you have an interview on as well. Mm-hmm. So I've mainly just helped with different tasks you would like to. One of the things I've been doing most right now have been reaching out to Danish food bloggers online to try to get some recipes for our recipe collection in the catalog that comes with the exhibition. So that's been very interesting and very different to what I anticipated I was going to do when I arrived.
You mentioned blogging, and I think probably for people your age and younger, you know, all the computer knowledge, all the computer abilities, that you don't even second guess that. That's just a part of you.
Yes, it's very much a part of me, and that's what makes this so interesting to me, at least. That's one of the things I'd like to delve deeper into, just having to create this online content as well. And blogs are a very new thing where people, like regular people, can share their ideas and their thoughts. And this specific food blogs are basically people who want to talk about their food experience, either going to a restaurant or what they made themselves already. It's a very big part of the blogging community, as far as I understand, that people just want to share their recipes, they want to try out new things, and it's just a new take on the whole, I made this lovely cake yesterday, I want to share it with you, and what's your thoughts on it, and if you want to make it, would you make it different, or would you use this ingredient, and stuff like that.
Well, food is such an important part of our culture, and I think the Skål exhibit is just one little example of how important food and related beverages is to all of us, and I think that's why people really get so excited about it. So mentioning food, now you said you've been here since February 1, and you haven't been to the United States before. What's new? What's different? What are you missing? Talk a little bit about your food culture.
I have mostly been surprised by how cheap all the candy is compared to, like, the groceries. I think comparatively the groceries are cheaper in Denmark. They are not cheap. They might even be, like, more expensive here. But compared to the other ingredients, they are quite a bit cheaper in Denmark. So that has surprised me, especially, just going out of a tangent, the bell pepper. It's really expensive over here. It's insane. but yeah, it's a lot of new flavors as well. I've tried some of the cakes. Yeah, like I couldn't help it. It's quite different from what I'm used to. Like our Danish pastry are quite different than what you have, and that's been a surprise. But so far I'm looking forward to trying more stuff, although I am quite surprised by the fact that all your pre-produced frozen meals are cheaper to buy than the fresh vegetables. And that's kind of annoying if you want to make it on your own. But
so when you're talking about fresh versus kind of the frozen whole prepared meals, because I think if you try just frozen vegetables, they're pretty good. But the frozen meals, that's a whole other category. But in Copenhagen, are there fresh food markets for vegetables and so on? Can you get those all year long out in a market somewhere? Or you know, are those growing in greenhouses or tunnels or somewhere in Denmark that you can get those freshly grown?
I must say I actually do not know. I usually get my groceries in the large stores, just like your Walmart over here. Okay. I just think that our supply is usually larger, at least than the Walmart I have visited in Atlantic. That's right. The one I've been to so far. I might have more luck going to a Hy-Vee or something. I've just been to Walmart this far. And we have a bigger selection, I think, of fruits and vegetables in the, at least the stores I normally go to, but that might be...
Well, you're talking about a much larger population when you're talking about where you live now compared to Elkhorn, Atlantic, Harlan. I mean, it's a huge population. So I'm guessing that's one of the reasons you have a larger selection.
That might be it, yeah. But just, I think the size of the, I'm going very into detail, the right. size of this particular Walmart is comparable to the size of the uh-huh. normal store I would go to, which okay. is actually a large store in Denmark called Bilka, if you want to search it up. So it seems like the stores are more or less the same regular size, but the vegetable and produce part is smaller over here. I think that describes okay. it best.
Okay, very interesting that even in the larger areas, the stores are about the same. Well, you have many more stories to tell us, but we have run out of time. So I want to thank you very much, Johannes Christofferson, for visiting with us, and we might be able to do that again later. Until next time, here's a thought from Dr. Jane Goodell. There are so many people who have dreamed seemingly unattainable dreams, and because they never gave up, achieved their goals against all odds.